Okay, let's begin. We are up to Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Chaf Beis. Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Chaf Beis. We have a whole series of bases. Yud Beis Chaf Beis.
As long as we're on base.
Okay, these sukkim continue to list the leaders and some of the individuals and the families who led Klal Yisrael at this time. We have here, we listed the leaders of the Kohanim and the Levim, those that lived in Yerushalayim. At this point in time, remember we are in Nehemiah, there were not enough people to maintain Yerushalayim, and the Goyrolois were cast to force or to decide which members of Klal Yisrael would live in Yerushalayim, and 10% of the population was required to make Aliyah to Yerushalayim. And we list the Kohanim, the people from Shevet Yehud and Binyamin, and their leaders, and the Kohanim and their leaders, and the Levim and their leaders, and the Nesinim and their leaders. And now in Pasuk HaBeis we have here another leader, a leader of the Levim. That's a very difficult pasuk because before we even read the pasuk of Beis, if we jump back to pasuk Yud Gimel, pasuk Tezayin. So pasuk Tezayin, we have two people, one by the name of Shapsai, one by the name of Yo Zovod. Pasuk Tezayin in Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Tezayin V'Shapsai V'Yoy Zavod Al Hamalacha Hachitzana L'Beis HaElokim Meroshei HaLeviim. These two individuals were in charge of the Malacha Hachitzana, which we learned to mean to import wood and maintenance of things that were needed for the Beis HaMikdash. They were in charge. So here there seems to be some repetition or some conflict where it says in Pasuk of Beis with the kid Halavim, the officer, the person that is in charge of the Levim. Rashi took the Rashi away, Mimune al Halavim, Asher Birushalayim, the one that was appointed over the Levim in Yerushalayim. Who was he? He was Uzi. That was his name. It's very, I guess today it's a real hip name. Uzi. But it's a real serious name. Uzi, then Boni, ben Chashavya, ben Matanya, ben Michal, ben Asaf. He was from the most distinguished families of the Bnei Asaf, which David HaMelech appointed as the singers. He was Asaf, we know, was a master composer, a master musician. He was extremely talented in composition of music and everything relating to music and song. And by the way, there Chagav, we know the Asaf, who was Asaf a descendant of? Korach. Although Korach was swallowed up alive, Hashem created a special Bria, Pasach Haaretz Pia, and swallowed him up. We know that Ubnei Korach, Loi Mesu. Who were the Bnei Korach? Asaf. So Asaf was part of the family of Korach, and seemingly they were in great danger. They did follow in the ways of their father. They rebelled against Moshe, but at the very last moment they did tshuva. Hashem had rachmanis upon them, and ultimately, years later, generations later, David HaMelech himself appointed the Asa family to lead the Levim in music. And here we have many generations here. Look how far it goes. It's an amazing thing. Here you have Korach, which was swallowed up. Hashem created the Pesach of the earth, Benash Moshe, Maisa Bereshis, to swallow up Korach, and yet Korach's own descendants lasted in very, very prestigious positions throughout history, even into the beginning of the time of the Baal Sheni. Mentioned here, this person, Uzi. Uzi ben Boni ben Chashavi ben Matanya ben Micha ben Asaf HaMishayrim, they were from the family of the singers. Here it says Leneged Melech HaSpeis HaElokim. What does mean Leneged? Leneged means to lead. Leneged means to be in charge, to serve as a Nogid. Leneged comes from the word Nogid, a prince, a leader over the Melacha. over the melacha of the Beis Hamikdash. The problem over here, now look at Pasuk of Gimel. Ki mitzvas hamelech aleihem, because the command, who appointed him? He was appointed by the king. The melech seemingly here refers to Daryovish. We're now at the time of the Malchus of the Persian Malchus, the son of Esther, Daryovish ben Esther. He was from the last kings of the Persian Empire. At least that was the Chazal recognized as being in control of the Malchus, the Malchus of Paras, Paras u'Mordai, ki mitzvas hamelech aleihem, the command of the king was upon them, referring here to it's here in Loshon Rabim. Now why is it Loshon Rabim? I didn't take note of that. So who is aleihem? Here it's only one person. Uzi ben Bani ben Chashai ben Matani ben Micha ben Yosef. I guess from the children of Asaf, it appears that he wasn't alone. He had some supporters, some brothers, some helpers. Va'amana al hamishayir. Amana means authority. Amana mitzudo sion says imyun kiyum, some type of trust. Amana literally means trust. It means here authority. Al hamishayirim. What? Trustee of the singers. Devar yom biyomo, on a daily basis. Okay, so what's the obvious question? What's going on? Didn't we learn in Pasuk Tezayin that we have already two other people that were in charge of the that were in charge? Shapsai and Yozovot. Al Hamalachit son of Lubes Hulakim Bidosh Halavim. And here we have a new person called Uzi ben Boni ben Chashavya ben Matanya. What's going on? So similarly, look at the Psukim. I think there's a very similar answer, is that he was a government appointee. There were people that are appointed by the government, and there are people that the tzibur feel are more suited to represent them and to assist. And I guess each one has a different role, a different function. There was a political leader who had to go to the government, go to the king and report what was doing, and perhaps lobby for funds and for laws and for different things that were needed. And then there was the person who actually understood the people and worked with the people on a daily basis in the Beis HaMikdash and took care of the needs of the local people. So that's the difference. The people, the internal leaders were Shabsai and Yozavot. And the political appointee who represented them from an entirely different position, the government position, he was in charge of them. Ki mitzvas hamelech aleihem, v'amona al hamashayim, was this person called Uzi. Okay, so different, it's not exactly clear what their roles were, the difference in their roles, other one was political and one was internal. Okay, that's one approach. Another approach is they had different functions. Here it's clear that it was singing. Now why would you need a political appointee to be in charge of the one who sings, the musician? We don't really know, relate to the times. But in the Pasuk Tezayin, it focuses more on melacha. HaMelacha chachitzan lebeis ulekim. They were in charge of importing goods, bringing in wood, supplying energy, fuel. And here, the focus, the emphasis is on the song, on singing, so it's a different role. Another important point which is discussed in the Mefarshim, the Malm really brings this out, is when it says, Ki mitzvah hamelech aleihem, it does not necessarily mean the king. Hamelech here means David Hamelech. That David HaMelech appointed people from the family of Asaf, they always shall be in charge of which song to sing on a daily basis. Every day we say Ashir, Hayom Yom Rishon Shebo Hayu Halvim Oimrim Beveis HaMikdash. LeDavid LaHashem Aretz Melah. Who decided? Who was the one that made the decision that on Sunday the Mizmor shall be LeDavid LaHashem Aretz Melah? Who made the decision that on Monday we should say this Shira? Who made the decision that on Rosh Chodesh the Shira shall be Baruch Hinafshi? Who made the decision that on this day every single day of the year, every holiday has its own Shira? And it could be that it was more complicated. There were other events that they celebrated and every day called for a special Shira. Who was the one that was assigned the task, the authority to decide which Shira was sung on an occasion, on a specific day? it was this person Uzi, because he was a descendant of the family of Asaph, and only descendants of the family of Asaph had this authority. And who gave them this authority? None other than the Melech. Which Melech? Not the secular Melech. This is the mild interpretation. David HaMelech. Whole new approach. Ki mitzvahs HaMelech Aleihem v'amona. That's in the mild. The mild, the Ralbag, the Ben Ezra. Sometimes I get, it goes a big fuss, and I prepare just for it's a conglomeration of Mepharshim. Unfortunately, I don't have in front of me the. I only have the. The Mitzvahs and Rashi, because I need this sefer with all the Midrashim, but I think it's either a Malbim or a Ralbag or an Ibn Ezra, one of them. They basically first on the page of the Mikros Gedolos, and Kimitz Hamelech Aleim Amona Alam Shem Devar Yom Yomo. Every single day, Devar Yom Yom means every single day. It's a beautiful interpretation. Every single day we sing a different shira. We all know from ourselves, davening every day with different shira, but it's more complex. There's Shabbos, there's Rosh Chodesh, there's Yom Tov, there's every, and even the Purim. I mean, today. On Purim we have different shira, and Chanukah there's a shira, there's a shira Chanukah Sfas L'David. Every single day there's a different shira. In the time of the Beis Hamikdash, seemingly there were different events, there were ceremonial events that took place, and it could be that in addition to the shira that was sung in honor of the day, there were other shiras. Someone had to make that decision which shira to sing, which melody to sing, which instruments to compose and orchestrate, and so on and so forth. And that's what it means here, Dvar Yom B'Yomo. It's a very novel interpretation of Dvar Yom B'Yomo, going with the word Mitzah Melech. Melech is David. Dvar Yom B'Yomo is the Shira of the Bildil Day. That's not the simple interpretation. The simple interpretation is that the Melech refers to Daryavish HaMelech. Dvar Yom B'Yomo means every single day he had a briefing. He had to brief the king, or brief someone that was connected to the king, and report back to Persia what was doing in Eretz Yisrael, in the Beis Hamikdash, and what their needs were, if were there any conflicts or any problems. Okay, now we come to Pasuk of Dalet. U'Pesachya ben Mishe Zavel Mibnei Zerach ben Yehuda Liat HaMelech L'chol Dvar La'am. This person was Pesachya. It's not clear who he was. I think I remember seeing that some say it's Mordechai. Mordechai Hayudi was called Pesachya. He was Poseach. He had the ability to open up mysterious... What? He had the ability to open up mysterious things. I looked at it. I couldn't find any Mukari here.
Or his prayers... Well,
maybe it refers to Daniel. Okay, I didn't see anything on the page, but Pesachya, vaguely remember that Pesachya could be here. This person Pesachya is referring to one of the more popular, more famous Ishi HaTanach, either Daniel. Daniel Chordin was not alive at it. Well, that's the very big question. Was Daniel still living at this point in time? Some say yes, some say no. We had that discussion. Was it referring to Mordechai HaYehudi? Was he called the Pesachya? Okay, but Pesachya ben Mishay Zavil ben Ezerach ben Yehuda Liyad HaMelech. He sat Liyad HaMelech. He sat by the side of the king. He was a government appointee. He had access. He was part of the cabinet. L'chol dovar la'am. Everything which was need, every matter that affected the people, he was their representative. Okay, let's see the Rashi and the Mitzudos for these two psukim. Pasuk habeis. Ufkid ha'alavim memuna alavim asher b'yushlam l'neged meleches meleches. So Rashi says l'neged shall be interpreted al Meleches Habayis, like Linogid, Al Meleches Habayis, Memuna Kegoin Binyone Bedek Habayis, those that built things that were any construction that was part of the upkeep of the Beis Hamikdash, Vashod Vam Shemoitzin Memomun Lemaisa, that they would need to use public funds. Habayis, Kinyan Shnemar Lamalavish, like Rashi himself was quoting the pasuk before, Vishabsai, the Yozovad al Hamalacha Chitzon. See, Rashi just emphasized the question that we discuss. Rashi here makes it even strong. He says, oh, this Molacha is identical to Shabsai and Yozovad of pasuk Tazayin. And again, different explanations, even though it's true that they were doing the same thing, but they were doing the same thing for different, they had different people to report to. Some reported to the king, and others reported to Bnei Yisrael. Like today, like in Boston, there are 20 government agencies involved in law enforcement. Everyone is doing exactly the same thing, but they're reporting to a different agency. You have a different boss to report to. So you have Pasuk Hezayin and Pasuk Habeis. They're doing similarly the same thing, but they have a different boss. Pasuk Hav Gimel Al Mitzvah Melech Aleihem Amelech Haya Mamin Bohem. So here it says the king Pasuk Hav Gimel. A very interesting expression of Rashi, that mitzvahs hamelech aleihem, the king trusted them. The king commanded them, because the king trusted them. I mean, what is Rashi coming to add? I don't know. Al hamashoyrim, lohoitzi mamon mioitzi hamelech dayavesh, the singers were paid, their salaries were paid by none other than Dariyavish. So Rashi, he learns, like we explained, the Melech refers to Dariyavish, not like our second interpretation that David HaMelech, Dariyom Yomok, the Lassoi, Sorech HaBayis, to provide for the needs of the Bayis. Let's see the mitzvahs of these two psukim before we go to the end of the parak. Okay, this is like a section of these two psukim. Befkid HaPokid Al Halavim Asher Yoshim Yishlam Hoya Uzi, Neged Melechas, Hem Hoya Hamune Al Melechas HaBayis Lechazik Es HaBedek, O Hoysef HaBinyin, they were in charge of construction. They were government appointees. To be in charge. The amana. What does the word amana mean? It means trust. The kiyum, the existence, and the force, the power of this appointment, hutla al hamishayrim, was put upon the singers. So it seems that the singers, we would not expect the singers to be given this extra task of construction. It's not clear why, but that's what it says there. Hamelech. Uyar Hamelech Hayabuchin Lumokam Hamelech Lishol Miimoy Es Kol Hadavar Hamitzterich Laam. He had a seat. He was part of the cabinet. He can enter and go as he wishes to speak to the king and report what's taking place and any of their needs. Okay, now we come to a new section. This is the last section of the Perek, and now we're beginning to list the places. See, until now we pretty much listed the people. There were lotteries cast. Lottery was cast who among the population would be forced to live in Yerushalayim, the Bnei Yehuda and Bnei Binyamin, the Kohanim and the Levim. We listed numbers of people and we listed their leaders. And now we're going to list that besides living inside of Yerushalayim, people took up residence on the outskirts of Yerushalayim in different open areas. So here we have a list of all of the places that were reoccupied during the time of the Bayis Sheni. Now these psukim are extremely important because the Gemara tells us that Kedusha Rishoni Kitcha L'Shaita V'loi Kitcha L'Asilava. When the Bayis Rishon was destroyed, the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael disappeared. No longer did the land have any more Kedusha. If someone came and visited Eretz Yisrael during that period of time and would grow produce, it was not Chayiv in Shuma and Maisa. It had no Kedusha, there was no Shemitah, there was nothing. The land lost its Kedusha, according to one opinion in the Gemara, which appears to be the mainstream opinion. Then, during the time of the Bayis Sheni, the Kibush, Kibush Sheni, Kibush Ezra, Kibush Kedusha Shni Kitcha Lishaita, the Kitcha L'Asilava. The second conquest gave sanctity to the land, not just for then, but for all future generations. And the problem is, what they captured the second time around was a lot less than what they captured the first time. Can include even hundreds of miles, and maybe who knows how large the difference is enormous. That's why today, when we depart Eretz Yisrael that's occupied today, that's a very bad word to say, that we possess today is much smaller than what was possessed, which during the time of the Bayis Rishon. And even the Bayis Sheni, even what we have today, is even less than what we know about the Bayis Sheni. But it has a nafkamina lahalacha. The nafkamina is Chuma Semaisras, Shemitah, even Sveika Dioma. How many days do you observe Yom Tov? There are still ongoing debates in certain areas down south in Eilat. So do you observe 2 days Yom Tov? Do you observe 1 day Yom Tov? Well, there are many. We don't live in Eretz Yisrael, so those who live in Eretz Yisrael will tell you there are many different question marks which are not resolved. And you'll go to these places and you'll find people doing different things. Different rabbis have different
little booklets they publish with different sheets.
It's very complicated. It's like you know, you go, you cross the international day line.
Yeah.
So what do you do? So yeah, you have a lot of these same very big major issues when you go to the different places in Eretz Yisrael on Yom Tov. Is it Chutz La'aretz, not Chutz La'aretz? Do you wear tefillin? Do you not wear tefillin? What?
Right, where is the
dateline? Well, that's a dateline shayla.
Right.
But even in Eretz Yisrael, there are different sections which are debatable. Why is it debatable? Because even though we know for sure that it's part of the biblical Eretz Yisrael, but it was not recaptured during the time of the Bayis Sheni. So these next series of sigma are critical because they clearly list the places that were reoccupied, where we conquered.
That was actually Kibush or just a resettling? Was there any?
Well, the resettling is a kibush. War?
War that
I don't know. I don't know. But even it doesn't make a difference. even if it was there wasn't a war, just the resettling was called the halacha kibush.
Do we have an understanding though? Why is it that the second base of Mikdash has?
Why has more kedusha? I don't know the answer. I'm sure there isn't. I'm sure there is in some.
What? In the second base, yeah. Kedusha were activities that were.
It was less kedusha.
Less kedusha.
How can it be that their conquest was greater, less of all generations? I don't know the answer. I'm sure there's an approach. There's no question that the commentators they explain it very deeply, but I don't know. I don't have an answer at this moment. But the point, what's very important is that the places here listed are places where if we can figure out where they are today, we could be 100% certain that these places have the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael today, and there's only 1 day Yom Tov, and there's Truma, and there's Meisr, and there's Shemitah, and there's nothing to discuss. Places that are not listed are problematic. We have to have a tradition. And if you don't have a tradition, then that these were reoccupied, we conquered, then, and they're not listed, then you have debates. Were they part, are they not part? But at least we have something what to work with here. Here are the places. Pasuk of Hey, the El Hachatzerim Bisdosam, and to the open courtyards with their accompanying fields. They are courtyards. The courtyards typically are fields. Bibnei Yehuda. So now we mentioned from the people from Shevi Yehuda, what did they reconquer? Bibnei Yehuda. Yashu, they settled the Kiryas Ha'arba, Chevroin. Okay, so we can be 100% certain Chevron is part of the Kibush Sheni, the place where the Avos lived. We can be 100% with the Berry. We can be 100% certain that that's part of the status of Eretz Yisrael. Neila, there's no question, the part of it, Kedusha. Uvnoisech, and its suburbs. Uve Divon, Uvenosech. Do you know that is today? We probably do, right? Divon, anyone know what Divon is? Uvenosech and its suburbs. But do we know on a map where it is? I'm sure the historians they know. Okay, Uvi Kab Tzeel Vachat Tzereha and Kav Tzeel, the name of place, and its courtyards. Uvi Yeshua, these are names of places. Uvi Molada, two more places. Uvi Beis Polet, third place. Three different cities. Next, Pasuk of Zayin. Uvi Chatzar Shu'ol, Uvi Be'er Sheva, Uvi Noisecha. These two places, Chatzar Shu'ol, Be'er Sheva, and Uvi Noisecha in its suburbs. Uvi Tziklag, Uvi M'choyno, Uvi Noisecha, another two places in its suburbs. Pasuk of Tes, Uvi Ein Rimoin, Uvi Tzara, Uvi Yarmus, another three places. Zanoach, Adulam, Vachatzrehem. Okay, another two places. Lochish, Ustos, Doisecha, Azeka, Uvnoisecha. Period. Then it says here, Vayachnu Be'er Sheva. They sell from Be'er Sheva ad Gei Hinnom, until the valley called Hinnom. This is the opening, Chazal tell us, to what we call Gehenim. Somehow from Gei Hinnom turned into our slang Gehenim. Why? Because in this, why is the Gehenim, why do we call Gehenim Gehenim? Because in this place called Gei Hinnom is where they practiced the worst type of Avodah Zarah. They built copper statues with outstretched arms, and they would heat up the arms of these statues until they became burning, burning hot, and they would take their children and they would put them on the arms of these statues and offer them as a sacrifice. They would be burnt to death to Molech. This was some type of craze at the time. There was an Abu Dazar called Molech, and they built statues in honor of Molech, metal statues, burnt them up to burning hot heat, and put their child, and the child would be burnt to death. And in order to drown out the cries of the child, they would have very loud drums that were being beaten at the time when the children were put on this idol, so that the cries of the children could not be heard, should be drowned out, so the mothers and fathers would not hear their children suffer as they were burnt to death. And all this was done in the name of idolatry. So this was a detestable thing in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the eyes of Chazal. Such a horrible thing to go offer your children as a burnt offering to our God. And that's what was done in this valley called Gehinom. And therefore, we got to associate anyone that does this, there's no question about it, he's going to suffer the worst of the worst in the next world. So this became associated with what we call, what's it called? Purgatory? Purgatory. So this is how purgatory is. It's a borrowed word. It's a place. Gehinom is a place. It's just like a valley. We call it, we associate it with what we call Ganon is because of the activities that took place in this valley. Okay, let's go further. Uvnei ben Yamin. So these were everything we list so far were the place where the people of Yehuda where they settled after when they made Aliyah. Now we come Uvnei ben Yamin Migova. What about the Bnei Yamin? Where did they settle outside of Yerushalayim? They settled Migova. That's number one. They settled also Michmas. Another place. Ve'ayah. Uveisel uvenosecha and beisel uvenosecha, all of these places. Next, Anasos. Nov, and we know Anasos, that's where, who came from the Yirmiyah came from Anasos. And Nov and Ananya, another three places. Chotzor Ramah, place called Chotzor Ramah, and Gitoyim. Chodid, Tzivoim, and Nivalot. Lod, the Ono, Gei, Hachar Roshim, Valley Hachar Roshim, another place. Okay, these are the places where the Sheva Binyamin, where they settled outside of Yerushalayim. Next.
Lone we know of.
Yeah.
Ono, there's a Kiryat Ono.
There's also a very big question. All these places that we call today, it's not Muchrach that they are biblical. They just totally borrow the name. Sometimes it's in the same region, like Yericho, Jericho. So it doesn't mean you have New York. You have even in America, all over the place. You have.
No, but at least in the case of Yericho,
the vicinity. It's the vicinity, right? The vicinity, but it's not the ancient, because we know that the ancient Yericho was a curse never to have it rebuilt. They built it on the outskirts in the vicinity, but not Mamash. So same thing with all these. It's not really clear if these are the exact same places or it's in the vicinity they were built. Whatever, but these are different names. Next, Minah Leviim. What about the Leviim? Machlokos Yehuda Levinyamin. So from the Leviim, so it says here that the Leviim do not have a chelik in the land. We know that the Leviim, they don't know the pasuk by heart. The Leviim, Hashem who nachalosai, Hashem is their inheritance.
They
don't They have no portion, and therefore, where do they live if they did not live in the Beis Hamikdash, in the dormitory of the Beis Hamikdash? So, the Min Aleviim, Machlokos, divisions of Yehuda, Levin Yamin. The Lamna of Levin means and Binyamin. It's not used here in a different form. They were given a residence in the cities of Yehuda and Binyamin, unlike the time of the Bais Rishon, where they had their own 48 cities. If we remember that they are the Ari Miklot. Levim were given cities in order to serve rehabilitation for people that murdered B'Shoigeg. They were rehabilitation centers. But now, during the time of the Bais Sheni, the Klal Yisrael, the population was very small relative to what it was. They didn't have cities all over the place. They shut them down, these cities. They were never resettled. So the Levim didn't need 48 cities. They couldn't even maintain the city for themselves. Certainly there weren't enough people to come visit. There were no tourists coming or people that needed rehabilitation. So where then did they live? They did not have a chelik in the land. They were given residence in the cities of Yehuda and Binyamin. And there weren't that many of them. We know that only a very, very small number of them anyway came up to Rishlam Slif. It was no big deal for them to find a place to live in these places. Now let's see over here the Rashis for these Psukim. All of these different cities, starting with Pasuk Chaf Hey. Right, there is no Chavetz Chav Dalid. Lamed Vav. Machlokos Yidlo Binyamin. Chayu Mechalkim B'machlokusam Onav Ona. B'yaretz Yehuda Uvin Yamin. Like we just explained, that the Lamed means and. The Lamed here, Levi Yamin, that's where they live. They live on the portions of these two Shvatim. Let's see the Mitzuda starting with Pasuk Chav. Chaf Hey, Vela Chatzerim, Eila Hayoshim Bi Ari Hachatzeros, Hey Mari Haprozim, the Ari Hachatzeros, Hachatzerim, courtyard is a code for an unwalled city. Anything that's unwalled is called the Ari Hachatzerim. It's a term. It's like a courtyard. It's open. There's no protection. They were very brave to live in these open cities. These cities were found where there were many fields. I guess they wanted to be of easy access to work the land, so they lived. They lived in this area. Next, the word of Nosecha is a very common word in Tanakh. It means the suburbs. It means from the villages. Is another term which seemingly means the same thing. It means small little places near the main city. Fields. Migeva. Mokim Haschalos. Here we're describing Shem Binyamin. Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Binyamin. Where do they live? Where do they reoccupy? Geva. Mokim Haschalos. Moishvosim. Hoyim Migeva. Yoshua. They dwelt in it. Uvimichmosh. And in Michmash, just listing all the different places where they lived. Machlekois, Hoyu Nechlakim, Lechalakim, Lesheves, Anav Anim, and Nachlas, Yudu, and Nachlas, Binyamin, Kiyoshu, Bezeh, Bezeh, the people of Lesheva Levi, they dwelt in the cities of Yehuda and Binyamin. They did not reoccupy their old cities, the 48 cities, from the time of the Bayi Yisrishan. Okay, so that concludes the list. And again, this list is extremely critical in order to know what part of Eretz Yisrael has its Kedusha. Because places that were not reconquered during the time of the Bayis Sheni did not get Kedusha. The Mela, it's very important. That's why you're able to live off those lands in Shemitah. And those lands do not have a din of Truman Meiser. Like in Chutz Yisrael, it's not in Truman Meiser. And there's no din. And there you got big problems of Sveika D'Yoma. Not always, because Sveika D'Yoma is only lands where the witnesses cannot, the shluchim cannot reach. But just because you're living in Chutz Yisrael, if you're on the boundary of Eretz Yisrael, and you're only...
So you only observe the one day.
So you go, yeah, they'll get there, no big deal. We're dealing with lands which are far away. But even Eretz Yisrael, like Eilat. Could the witnesses really get down? There's certain regions where it's questionable how far the shluchim were able to travel in ancient times to reach. So one thing, so if you'll talk about its Eretz Kedusha Saaretz, and today we already have technology, then there are different combination of factors which allow us to be lenient and observe one day. But if you are at a distance and also does not have a guarantee of Kedusha Saaretz, because even though we know that it's part of the biblical Eretz Yisrael from the time of Amor Avinu all the way until Nahar Mitzrayim, but one thing we're certain, they did not reconquer Ad Nahar Mitzrayim all the way down to Egypt in the time Sinai, right? That was the big thing. It's the Sinai. Is Sinai part of Eretz Yisrael? Is it? What do they say today? The sign. What? Yeah, even before they gave it up. There's no question that it had Kedush from time of the Bayis Rishon, because the Bayis Rishon goes Ad Nahar Mitzrayim, which was seemingly whatever Nahar Mitzrayim is, we go that far. But the time of the Bayis Sheni, Kibush, it's not listed here. So was it conquered and part of a Kibush that we're not aware of? There's a very big debate. Yes or no? It's a whole. This is a discussion which is beyond me. Okay, now we go to a new parak. Pasuk Perek Yudbeis. The Eile Halavim, Hakoyhanim Halavim, Hakoyhanim, Eile Hakoyhanim, the Halavim Asher Alu in Zerubbabel Ben Shealtiel VYeshua. Now it's very, very strange. We're going through another list. We thought we were safe. If I'm not mistaken, this really is a fourth list of people. When the Sefer began in Sefer Ezra, We learned about the people who made Aliyah when Melech Koresh, Melech Paras gave permission, Jews go back home. So they all went. Who went? Who was the person who led them? It was Zerubbabel and Yeshua. Zerubbabel was a descendant of Malchus of David, and Yeshua was the Kohen Gadol. And they went back. They went back to rebuild, to take back Yerushalayim, and to rebuild Eretz Yisrael. That we learned about them in Sefer Ezra. And then Nehemiah did exactly the same thing. And that in Sefer Ezra, there was one major list. There was the list where we listed a grand total of 42,360. And they all lent under the leadership of these two individuals, the leaders of Zerubbabel and Shealtiel. And we listed them by number. We listed the families of the Kohanim, the families of the Levim. We listed the Shev Yehuda, Shev Binyamin, and the Avodim, and the Nesinim, and Avi Shlomo, and all of them, Chol Hanilvim Olaf, for a grand total. And then what did we do? We did this Kemat, the same exact thing in Sefer Nehemiah. In the beginning of the Sefer, when Nehemiah, he went and he wanted to find, we need more people to live in Yerushalayim. We don't have enough people to live in, to live. Let's have a list that we can work with. And he dug up the old list from Ezra, and he reread it. And there we mentioned there were many discrepancies, but we went through the list again. Then we just went through another list in Perek Yud Aleph, we just learned this in Perek Yud Aleph, the list of the Sorei Ha'am Yerushalayim, when they cast lots, who they forced, and we went through the leaders. We went through the leaders of the people who lived in Yerushalayim. And we also, back in Perek Yud, we list the Bris Amona, when they made a treaty, when Nehemiah brought Ezra, and they read from the Sefer Torah, and they realized they have sinned, and they forged a new covenant with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they signed the Bris Amona. We also listed the leaders who signed the Bris Amona. So we already have so far four lists of people. The list of people in Sefer Ezra, the major list in Sefer Nehemiah. We have the leaders who signed, the 84 leaders who signed the Bris Amon in Perek Yud. And we have in Perek Yud Aleph all of the leaders of the people who settled in Yerushalayim. Now we're coming to a fifth list of people. This list focuses primarily on the heads of the Mishmaros. Not necessarily the leaders, but we know this from the Gemara, we know this from Kinnas Tisha B'Av, that the Kohanim, the Levim, and the Yisraelim were divided into 24 Mishmaros. Each Mishmar in turn was divided into 6 Batei Avos, and they alternated. Each Mishmar served a week, and then went back to their cities, and they studied, they prepared, and they did whatever they needed to do until they were called upon to come serve another in 24 weeks. And each 24 weeks, the Mishmar arrived in the Beis Hamikdash, they took up residence, and they were divided into 6 groups, and each group served on each a day. And on Shabbos, they all served together. So we're now going to list the heads of the 24 Mishmaros of Kohanim, the heads of the 24 Mishmaros of the Levim. Now the problem is, when we go to this list, we're only going to discover 22 Mishmaros. And the question is, what happened to the missing two? So one answer, the two answers are, either the Kohen Gadol himself, Yeshua, his family was divided into two. He had two major branches in his family, and that those two branches made up the additional two to bring it to a total of 24. Another approach is that that among the 22, there were families that were broken into two parts to bring a total of 24, and which of those two families were broken, subdivided into two more groups, it's not listed. It's not listed in the Sefer. We have no choice but to say that they did definitely exist. So here we go. So Elo HaKohanim, and the following are 22 HaKohen v'Halevim, we're going to list the leaders of the Mishmaros of the Kohen v'Halevim, Asher Olu, which ascended, Im Zerubbabel, Ben She'alatiel, Zerubbabel Ben She'alatiel, he was descendant of David HaMelech, he was Shevi Yehuda, the Yeshua, he was the Kohen Gadol, at the time, Yeshua Kohen Gadol, at the time of time, we're going back now to the time of Koresh, we're going back in history now, all the way back to the time of when they first came up to Eretz Yisrael. Here we have the first three, Seruiah, Yirmiah, and Ezra. Now this is certainly not Ezra from Sefer Ezra, because Ezra did not come up. Ezra came up only many years later, after his Rebbe Baruch ben Neriah died. So this is definitely not the Ezra from Sefer Ezra. The difference is a very popular name. And we have Yirmiah, and Yirmiah also is definitely not the Yirmiah of Yirmiah Hanavi, because this is already after his time. Yirmiah by this time already died. Yirmiah lived during the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon. It's now 70 years later, 52 years later. Koresh is really 52 years later, and Yirmiah is not around. He's not present at this point in time. He died by this point in time. So Yirmiah here is a different Yirmiah, and Ezra is a different Ezra that we are certain of. Who else? That's three. Seruiah, Yirmiah, and Ezra. Each one of these people led an entire mishmar. They had a whole group of kohanim which served every 24 weeks. Who else? Amariah, Maluch, Chatush, another three. We have Shechaniah, Ruchum, and Miremos, Ido, Ginesoy, and Aviah, Miyamin, Ma'adya, and Bilga, Shemayah, Yoriv, and Yedaya. Okay, so these are all the peoples: Nesalu, Amoik, Chilkia, Yedaya, a grand total of 22 names. Ele, Roshe, HaKoyhanim, Vachehem, Bimei Yeshua. These are the leaders of the Koyhanim and their brethren during the time of Yeshua, Koyhein Gadol. It's very important to keep track, because we're going to mention now, this is another very important theme, of all of the Koyhanim Gedolim that served until the time that Sefer Nehemiah was concluded, until Sefer Nehemiah was sealed. And we're going to list six Koyhanim Gedolim that served at this point in time. But here, so these last two words are critical, because we're going to go and discuss this. We're going to have a mention of this in different forms later in this parak, and going back, and we'll study in previous program. But here it's very clear that the 22 leaders, these were the names of the 22 leaders who served as the heads of the 24 Mishmaros during the time of the first Kohen Gadol of the Bayis Sheni. The first of six. Chazal tells us there were more than 300 Kohanim Gedolim during the time of the Bayis Sheni. We're going to learn about 6/7. We're going to learn about 6 or 7 of them in a few moments. But who was the first? Yehoshua Kohen Gadol, otherwise known, a.k.a. as Yeshua. So now he was the Kohen Gadol, but there are 24 Mishmaros who serve beneath him. Each Mishmar arrives in the Beis HaMikdash for 1 week. They take up residence. And we know, we learned in the Kinnas, that each one had their own city. It wasn't just Stam that they came, they were a good family. They had their own city. They lived in their own city. And Chazal tell us that each one had their own customs. Like today, if you go to a shul, so you call, each shul has its own flavor. Let's say you go to a Hasidish shtibel, and then you go to Yekesha shul, you go to Breuer's, and then you go to a Persian shul, and you go to a Svardish shul, and then you go to a Taimani shul. Each family of Kohanim was just like that. They had their own traditions. And when you would go into the Beis HaMikdash on a week, the whole Beis HaMikdash had a different flavor. If you come as a tourist to visit the Beis HaMikdash in the middle of the winter, who's on duty this week? The Hasidim are here this week. The bells of Hasidim took over the... So you walk in, they're all with the long pace, and they're probably, their big day kahuna are probably all made with their special heksher, you know, with their special minhagim, and the food that's being served is under their hashkacha. They took over. It's a hostile takeover. No, I'm not joking. and they served for 1 week. Out. Who's the next week? The Sfaradim, the real Sfaradim. They come and they take over. Clean house. They have they a whole new flavor. The way they make the brach, every carbon requires the brach. If you bring a carbon down week, who's going to be the kohen for you? A Sfaradi. He's going to make the bracha. Baruch, he's going to make it with his nusach. Baruch Ator, he's going to say his way. And then you come the next week. The Litvaks. You know, the Litvaks take over. How do they say they're not going to start trying to imitate? But the Litvaks take over. Every week, the Beis HaMikdash had a new flavor. If you try to count in America how many different types of Jews, you can't come up with 24. Come up with maybe 10, the most. 10 different distinct flavors of Jews. There were 24. There were 24 distinct flavors of Jews. And each one was a mishmar. Each family of Kohanim lived in their own city, and they came for a week at a time, and they alternated. And even among the people they alternated, they were broken up into six different, like the Baba v'Chassidim. You can break them up, go back, trace the Chassidus. They're all different groups. All different groups. They were broken up into six Bati Avos. Who's in charge? So we just listed 24 people who are in charge of each respective group. We only listed 22. There are 24. As we said, some, among these 24, somehow there were another two groups, there was a subdivision. All of the people that we listed, this is critical, all existed during the time, during the Tkufa, the very first Tkufa called of Yeshua. Now, who are the Levim? Who are the Levim that existed in this period of time? The Halevim. Just like there were 24 Mishmaros of Kohanim, there were 24 Mishmaros of Levim. And you can imagine they also had their distinct flavor. The Halevim, who are the Levim? There's Yeshua. Now, this Yeshua obviously is not Yeshua Kohen Gadol. It was a very popular name. He was one of the leaders of the Levim. And Binui, the Kadmiel, and Sheravia, and Yehuda, Matanya. Now here's something important. Al Hayidos. Matanya was in charge of the Hayidos. What does that mean? Three interpretations. If I'm not mistaken, the Ralbag says you have the thing there. You have the Mikroswells Hayidos, the name of a person. Matanya, period. And besides Matanya, there was a person, his name was Al Hayidos. Okay, an exotic name. That's another interpretation. But one interpretation is that was a name that was Matanya, and there was a person called Al Hayidos. Okay, that was his name. Who ve'echav, he and his brethren, they were in charge of one of the 24 groups of the Mishmaros. Another interpretation is that Matanya is the name of a person. He was in charge of a musical instrument called the Yidos. Okay, it's named an instrument. Who ve'echav, they were the only ones who knew how to play this very unique musical instrument. A third interpretation is, we had this before in the previous parak, they were in charge of Hoidah. Yodos, Lashon of Yodah, to give thanks. They were in charge of selecting the Mizmoirim, like Psukei Mizimra. We had that expression in the previous parak, I can't find it now, the Techila. The person that opened up the avoda with expressions of praise. So this person, Himatanya, he was the one that was always in charge of opening up the service with an expression, a benediction. Benediction is not really a praise, but a blessing. But
yeah, like it could be one interpretation is the lyrics, the other interpretation is the arrangement.
Okay, fine. So, but the Yedos, that's what his role. So, three interpretations: a person, a musical instrument, or he was in charge of selecting which expression of praise would be sung when they began a service. Pasik tes uvak bukyo, another person. The uni achehem lenegdam lemishmaros. They served opposite them in their respective mishmaros, in their respective watches. The Yeshua, now it's not giving us, only giving us a partial list. There were 24, but we only have here a partial list of the leaders of the Levim who served in roles of leadership over the 24 mishmaros of Levim. Let's just see the Rashi, and this will stop. Let's see the Rashi, it was Perek Aleph, Yeshua, who Yeshua, Kakon God. Gadol, b'nei Yeshua shayu roshim, b'nei Yeshua kohen Gadol. All the people that were listening, the 22 people, that kohanim, were all leaders of the 24 mishmeros in the time of Yeshua kohen Gadol. Pasuk Ches, Rashi, what does it mean, ha-yidos? Matanya was in charge of yidos. Rashi learns, min kli shir loimar shira. It was a certain type of musical instrument. Okay, Pasuk Tes and Rashi, Lim Mishmaros, the Bakbukia, that was the name of a person, Bakbuk. He was in charge, and the Uni, they were in charge, in charge of the Kemosh, Shemotzinu, Shahalavim, Hoyu, Chalukim, Leshim, Barba, Mishmaros. Rashi here is telling us that when it says here, Linegdam, Lim Mishmaros, opposite them, opposite the Koyhanim, Linegdam here means that these 24 groups of Levim corresponded to the Mishmorois of the Koyhanim. Okay, let's see the Mitzvot Pasuk Aleph. The Yeshua, who Yeshua Kohen Gadol, who Im Zerubbabel, Hayu Rosh HaOlim, the two leaders who ascend the time of Koyresh, we're going back now, all the way back to, going back many, many years, over 50 years, and from the time that we're standing here to the time 52 years after the Korban Beis Hamikdash, who ascended was Zerubbabel and Yeshua. And we have Shira, Rotzolema, Behem, Shiraya, Behe'elu, Hakoyhanim, Oilim, Shiraya. Now we've been the list in that first Pasuk. Pasuk Aleph, we already list three. We list Siraya, Yirmiya, and Ezra. Pasuk Zayin, V'achayim, Rotzolema, Asher, Olu, Imachayim, Hemo, Yesra, Hakoyhanim, they were the remainders. B'nei Yeshua, now we describe the Levim. Chayzer, Hual, Roshim, Lema, Shayu, Roshim, Hakoyhanim, Me, Yeshua, Kohen Gadol. Everything, I'm sorry, Pasuk Zayin is continuing. These are the leaders who served during the time of the first Kohen Gadol, Yeshua. Now we have Pasuk Ches. Now we begin to list, enumerate the leaders of the 24 Mishmaros of Levim. The HaLevim, Ho'ilim Imohim, Ho'yo Yeshua, Al HaYidos. So we already know what Rashi says, a musical instrument, and Mitzvot here disagrees. Asher Ho'yim Amunah Al HaHoidos, VeHachilul. Lerosh hatechila, kemash alma lamal. Like we had before, there was a person that was in charge of selecting which expression of praise was to be sung when they began to do the avoda.
The name is Huyidos.
Huyidos. Huyidos, not.
That's why it's in the word
Hoidah. Hoidah, right? Because Hoidah, they have the same letters. The Nikud can be manipulated depending on how it's used, and it's Snichus. But Huyidos. Huyidos, according to Mitzvah's learns, he was in charge of Hoidah, which expression of praise would be sung. Matanya, Roish Hatechila, Roish Hatechila Yehoyadah. He was, according to the Siddhas, he was in charge of Hatechila Yehoda, of giving praise. He was the one that was in charge of selecting which praise they would begin with. Hu Yechav, Hu Ol Im Echav Im Anashim Le'Yisiyasa, he ascended with his brethren and his family. Pasuk Tes, Achayhem Shalmatani V'Anashim L'Negdam L'Umas L'Umasam V'Shav L'Lochem Hayu Chalukim Heim Im Anshem L'Mishmos Kamoyhem, that they all divide into various groups. With all of the brothers were divided together into 24 groups to correspond to the 24 groups of the Kohanim. Okay, so we'll stop here. Yeah?
Matanya is the same in Pasuk Yitzayin. It says, Matanya wrote Shaftimah Yehuda.
In Pasuk Yud, which Pasuk? Pasuk Yud Zayin. Matanya ben Micha ben Zavdi ben Osa Rosh HaTechilo.
So that's what it is.
The same person. Okay, you're right. Very good. He's saying he was right. He's the same person. He was Rosh HaTechilo Yehoideh. Latafila, exactly. So according to the Mitzudos, it's the same Atanya, and when it says here, Al Huyidos, that is equivalent to what it says in Pasuk Yud Zayin, he was in charge of Rosh Hatechila Yeho De Latafila. Exactly, very good. But Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi says the word Huyidos is a different word. It's not to be confused with Yeho De. It's a musical instrument. And according to the Malbag, or the Malbum, Huyidos, Al Huyidos, name of a person. It's not even so, but
there's the fact that the word Matanya, the name Matanya, has an esnachto.
Yeah, right, that shows it has to come to an end.
So now it's not a name.
It's not, it has to be something else. So different interpretation of what it is. Okay, so we'll stop here. And then in Pasuk, you are going to learn about all of the Kohanim Gedolim, all the new